WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Charlottesville's police chief resigns after less than 2 years on the job and less than a month after a report harshly criticized his leadership after a violent summer in Charlottesville. Also, outgoing Governor McAuliffe releases his final budget proposal. As election officials comb through a handful of results, with control over the House of Delegates hanging in the balance, this is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, December 19th. Charlottesville Police Chief Alfred Thomas resigned abruptly on Monday, just 17 days after the release of a report that was highly critical of the police department's handling of a white supremacist rally in August that turned deadly in Charlottesville. The 207-page report prepared by Timothy Hafey, a former U.S. attorney for the Western District of Virginia, concluded that the department was ill-prepared, lacked proper training, and had a flawed plan for managing the Unite the Right rally that drew hundreds of neo-Nazis and white supremacists to Charlottesville on August 12th and resulted in violent clashes with counter-protesters. The lack of adequate preparation led to, quote, disastrous results, Hafey wrote. Thomas, an Air Force veteran who previously was chief of police in Lexington, had led the Charlottesville agency since May 2016. He was the city's first black police chief. Lawmakers in Richmond on Monday got their first glimpse of Governor Terry McAuliffe's priorities for the upcoming legislative session. The outgoing governor unveiled his final budget proposal for the state. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain was there and has this report.
In his usual style, the governor began with a long list of successes, healthy revenue growth, and sharp decreases in unemployment.
Every single city and every single county in Virginia has seen a drop in their unemployment rate.
To go hand in hand with that economic growth, the governor's proposing increased funding for public schools, raises for state employees, and an expansion of health insurance for the poor, then a hefty deposit in the state's savings account. Some added bonuses were $1 million for cyber security camps, $2 million to encourage development in solar energy. But this is the beginning of the process, not the end. The budget now gets handed over to lawmakers, like Republican Senator Tommy Normant and Delegate Chris Jones.
I mean, if you listen to everything he said today, you would think that today was December the 25th and Santa Claus had arrived with a sleigh full of goodies. Well, all of these goodies are not going to be able to be distributed at the dollar levels that he is proposing.
And so we will do, as Senator Normant said, we will take a cautious approach, a responsible approach to making sure the resources are there for the programs that are a priority for us and the governor-elect, because he'll have to sign whatever we send him.
That governor-elect is Democrat Ralph Northam, who's consistently preached a bipartisan approach. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
McAuliffe's newly proposed budget calls for $7.6 million in additional state funding for full-time principals in all elementary schools across the Commonwealth. From partner station WCVE, Megan Pauley reports.
Right now, a funding formula called the Local Composite Index determines how much state funding goes to schools. But before that calculation is made, Virginia's budget director, Daniel Timberlake, says the total school cost is calculated.
So in determining that total cost, if you're a really small elementary school, you were only getting a half a principal. If you were a large elementary school, you were getting a full-time principal.
While Republican Senate Majority Leader Tommy Normant says early childhood education is a priority, he'd like to examine which jurisdictions are currently sharing principals.
It's very nice to get up there and say, we're going to put a principal in every elementary school. But the question is, are they schools that are underperforming that would benefit from on-site administration? So we can't make the decision in a vacuum.
Megan Pauley, WMRA News.
And also from partner station WCVE, Saria Wintersmith reports that McAuliffe's budget once again includes a Medicaid expansion provision.
Standing before committee members at the Capitol Monday, the governor pointed to his previous attempts to expand Medicaid for the estimated 370,000 Virginians in the coverage gap.
As you know, that effort has repeatedly failed in the General Assembly, leaving hundreds of thousands of our friends and our neighbors without access to basic health care.
In previous years, Republicans made the case against state expansion, in part by arguing the Affordable Care Act would eventually be scrapped. Speaking to reporters after his remarks, McAuliffe said the U.S. Congress's recent inaction on that policy should change Virginia's conversation.
I think the biggest difference is, well, you've now have a Republican president and a Republican Congress, and they have failed to repeal it. So all this talk about it ultimately going away, they were not able to do it, as you know.
In a written statement, incoming Governor Ralph Northam applauded the budget and vowed to also make Medicaid expansion a priority. Meanwhile, state GOP leaders reacted, saying they're open to putting more money towards health care coverage, but not in the form of Medicaid expansion.
McAuliffe's two-year budget proposal was also built with the assumption that Congress will reauthorize the Children's Health Insurance Program before the end of January, and as Soraya reports, Republican state lawmakers are concerned about that.
The McAuliffe administration has warned families who use Virginia's CHIP-funded program that their coverage might be terminated. Still, multiple administration officials have expressed confidence the U.S. Congress will reauthorize CHIP, and McAuliffe's latest spending plan doesn't contain contingency funds. After the governor's budget presentation Monday, House Appropriations Chair Chris Jones pointed to multiple uncertainties generating from Washington and asked,
"Do you want to depend on Congress?"
Jones compared the state of CHIP funding to congressional inaction on the Affordable Care Act.
"It makes a case for not expanding Medicaid as we know it, because that was a program widely acclaimed by both sides of the aisle for 20 years, a great program. Now we're here in the 13th hour, in essence, trying to figure out what are they going to do. So if they don't act, we have no choice but to put that money in the budget, even if it's just for the first year. We have to be prudent and responsible."
Jones and other Virginia Republican leaders say they're hoping the state won't have to worry about filling the multi-million-dollar gap that could result if Congress doesn't reauthorize. The next federal funding deadline will occur December 22nd. For WMRA News, I'm Soraya Wintersmith in Richmond.
Finally, election officials are combing through a handful of recounts this week while control of the House of Delegates hangs in the balance. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has the story.
The wave election 2017 has yet to crest, and a handful of recounts are still moving forward. One recount took place last week, and the Democrat picked up only a handful of votes in a race where the Republican led by more than 100 votes. And three more recounts are happening this week, although Jeff Skelly at the University of Virginia Center for Politics says new technology is making recounts increasingly marginal.
"There are suspicions that there just won't be quite as many changes as you might have expected in the past because of the machines that they're using now."
The recount that's attracting the most attention is in Newport News, where the Republican is ahead by only 10 votes. Quentin Kidd of Christopher Newport University says the district leans to the right.
"It has a very Republican part of the district, which is the middle part of Newport News, and then Democratic parts on the north side of the district and the south side of the district. And so all of that together makes it a relatively competitive district that has leaned Republican in recent years."
That might change this year, although the odds are against it. Recounts almost never change the outcome of an election, but the margin of victory is rarely smaller than a dozen votes. I'm Michael Pope.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Tuesday.